Well, I just got into town today to find my girl who's gone away. She took the Greyhound at the general store. And I searched myself, I searched the town. And when I finally did sit down, I found myself no wiser than before. Now my baby's gone, I don't know what to do. She took my love and walked right out the door. And if I ever find that girl, I know one thing for sure. I'm gonna give her something like she's never had before. She said we couldn't do no wrong, no other love could be so strong, but she locked up my heart in her bottom drawer. Now she took my heart, she took my keys from in my old blue dungarees, and I'll never go to Texas anymore. Now my baby's gone, I don't know what to do. She took my love and walked right out the door. And if I ever find that girl, I know one thing for sure. I'm gonna give her something like she's never had before. I took her love at 17, a little late these days it seems, but they said heaven is well worth waiting for. Well, I took her word, I took it all beneath the sign that said you all, and she left angels hanging round for more. I never did quite understand all that talk about rockin' bands, and they just rolled my doll right out the door. I said they just rolled my doll right out the door. I said they just rolled my doll right out the door.
This is J.D. Doyle, and that song is called Hot Dog. It's from the 2011 CD by Kate Reed, and welcome to part two of my interview with her. In this hour, we'll cover the music of her first three recordings, spanning 2006 through 2011. I interviewed you a few years ago, and you described your music as dyke folk with a bit of a kick. You still go by that?
I would say so, yeah, sure. Definitely has a kick to it, I think.
Okay, from all your albums, prior albums, is there a song that's an overall crowd favorite, you know, one that you dare not leave out of a show?
That's a good question, because I play such different audiences. So I would have to say that Co-op Girls from my first album is definitely a lesbian favorite. My Babies in the Beer Tent is also a live favorite. And Captain Cupcake in the Canby Hotel has definitely become a requested song. So there's a few.
Well, I had planned to ask about Captain Cupcake. Could you talk about it?
Yeah, so the song Captain Cupcake in the Canby Hotel comes from an actual man that I met at a bar gig that I did a few years ago. I was on tour for my second album. And I pulled up to this bar, and it was really divey, sort of trashy bar in a sort of not a nice, you know, not a clean part of town. And I was a little worried about the gig because I thought, well, you know, I'm a lesbian singer going into this bar. There's potential for some weirdness to happen, you know. So I was a little worried about that. And I got in there, and there was this band sound checking because I was sort of the first act, and then they were coming after me. And the band was this band called Susie Wedge and the Waves. And Susie Wedge and the Waves was a sort of a punk rock surfer kind of band, and Susie Wedge just happened to be a transgendered woman, And I thought, right on, this is going to be okay. So I set up, did my sound check, and then I played my set. And the whole time I was playing my set, there was this guy in the audience, sort of dead center from me, and just really loving my music. And as I was playing my songs, I kept watching him, and you know, he was just carrying on, like clapping and super excited and enthusiastic. And I just kept thinking to myself, wow, what's the deal with this guy? Like, there's something going on here. You know, because on the outside, he just sort of looked like, you know, your average sort of quote-unquote normal-looking guy, and came in off the street and was having a good time drinking beers in the bar. And then when I was done my set, he came up and was very excited, and he told me the story about how he was a tugboat driver. But the interesting part of that, of course, was that he was a cross-dressing tugboat driver. So he was more than excited to hear my music about, you know, gender bending and different kinds of identities and things like that. So it quite resonated with him.
And here's Captain Cupcake in the Canby Hotel.
Well, I pulled up outside the bar of the Canby Hotel in Nanaimo. There were meatheads mouthing off out on the street. They were pissed up and fist fighting. There were Harleys parked outside and a bumper sticker pickup truck that read, ask grass or gas. Well, no one rides for free. And I thought to myself, this could turn out to be one hell of a night. I better leave my car engine running and tie my shoes up real tight. But this one guy inside the joint caught my eye. He was kind of skinny and scrubby looking. He was laughing and clapping along in time. And when I was done singing, he came up to me. And I swear to you that it's true. He said, I drive a tugboat for a living. I'm pulling all the big ships through. I work the Georgia Strait every day, but we're a pot of peas, me and you. And then he said and winked, I'm not as straight as you might think. I'm a cross-dressing tugboat, roughneck from Nanaimo. I work the high seas and high heels. I'm a tough guy in disguise. Oh, they call me Captain Cupcake. I come from Vancouver. Heard this guy, so I said, what did you just say? Then the trans rock punk surf house band plugged in and began to play. And my new friend checked out the lead singer of the band and elbowed me, saying, man, I look better in a miniskirt than that guy does any day. Anyways, Kate, you may be wondering to yourself, just how does a guy like me get a job driving a tugboat when I'm kind of a dude looks like a lady? Well, I grew up hauling payloads big and small. I'm as good as any man. I know these seas like the back of my manicured hand. I'm a cross-dressing tugboat, roughneck from Nanaimo. I work the high seas and high heels. I'm a tough guy in disguise. Oh, they call me Captain Cupcake. I come from Vancouver, I love. And I hang out down at the Canby Hotel. One day after work, he said, I went down to the Canby for a beer. I couldn't believe my eyes as I walked inside. Oh, I was utterly hypnotized. See, there was this stunning waitress running the bar. She was dressed to the nines. She was mesmerizing. I mean, she could launch 1,000 ships of mine anytime. Meanwhile, the boys in the boat sat up at the bar and they smoked and joked and drank whiskey and poked fun at me in my femmy garb. Well, you got style, Cupcake, but make no mistake, they laughed. She's way out of your league. You're an odd catch and you're no match for a classy broad like that. So Cupcake sat alone with his beer in a booth in a dark corner of the room. And she worked the floor of that rundown saloon every night like it was some high fashion runway. Well, she's captivating and I'm capsizing here, head over my 5-inch stilettos, he thought. Oh, little does this little lady know that she really floats my boat. Then one night, Kate, the boys were putting back the draft. They were plastered and making passes at her. And everything I'd been holding inside me exploded. I finally snapped, he said. I stood up and told them off. And then in the next breath, I confessed to her, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And I've been wondering, would you marry me? And I'm a cross-dressing tugboat and roughneck from Nanaimo. I work the high seas and high heels. I'm a tough guy in disguise. Oh, they call me Captain Cupcake. I'm out from Vancouver Island. And I hang out down at the Canby Hotel. Then much to the boy's surprise and, well, I was certifiably tongue-tied, he told me. When she threw her arms around me and said, you know, the first time I laid my eyes on you, honey, I knew you were a different kind of man from all the rest. So if we can wear matching wedding dresses, then, baby, I'll say yes.
In that last answer, you heard Kate mention two other crowd favorites, so I'm going to let you hear those as well. From her first album, Comin' Alive is Co-op Girls, and from Doing It for the Chicks is My Baby's in the Beer Tent Again.
I came out to the mountains, the big city lights were behind me. It was just me and my old wounded heart, driving down the highway to freedom. So when I first pulled into Nelson, I couldn't believe my eyes. There were all these hippies and little kids and freaks hanging around, yeah. And the heartbeat of this old town is a strip called Baker Street. And my stomach was empty, so I started looking around to find something to eat, yeah. But I didn't have much money, a little loose change in my pocket, when suddenly I found myself in front of the Cootney Co-op health food store, yeah. Automatic sliding glass doors, yeah. Yeah, they opened for me like I was someone real important. And suddenly I was in a dreamlike haze and my mouth fell open wide. Well, forget my empty stomach, 'cause my heart was pounding for Co-op Girls, 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 yeah. Co-op Girls, Co-op Girls. Some of the cutest women in Nelson are Co-op Girls, yeah. So where do I start? I said to myself, I mean, there were produce girls and deli girls and even herbal supplement consultant girls. So I kept it fairly simple and I picked up something from the deli. And I was feeling a little more hopeful about myself when the deli goddess smiled at me, yeah. So I marched up to the woman at the till and she asked me for my number. And even though I thought she was a little forward, I said 3570126. And I was thinking I had myself a date, but then she looked at me and said, honey, you must be new in town, 'cause I'm talking about your membership number. Oh God, I'm such an idiot. I said, I don't have a number. And then I looked down at my shoes and I hung my head in shame. And just when I thought my luck was done and I was planning my escape, she asked if I wanted to be a member. And I looked up into her big brown eyes and said, Co-op girl, co-op girl, I wanna be a member. Co-op girl, co-op girl, just tell me where to sign. Co-op girl, co-op girl, yeah. Oh yes, I wanna be a member. Co-op girl, co-op girl, just tell me where to sign, yeah. Yeah. So once I became a member, the benefits started rolling in. There were these monthly co-op meetings, a surefire place to get a date. So I got all dressed up and ready for my night out on the town, and I showed up at the meeting. And I pulled a chair up beside the girl with the big brown eyes, and there was the deli goddess sitting on her other side. You see, when I moved out to the Kootenays, I had myself a plan to ditch the straight life and become a dyke. So halfway through the agenda, I took a long deep breath. It was during the topic of yearly dividends when I turned to big brown eyes and I asked her for her number. because I thought I'd try again. But she put her arm around the deli goddess, and then they said to me, desperate girl, desperate girl, better luck at the AGM. Desperate girl, desperate girl, will you stay at the fluid lounge? Desperate girl, desperate girl, yeah, better luck at the AGM. Desperate girl, desperate girl, this ain't the fluid lounge. Oh, oh, oh. No, 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 no. So I found out that they got this thing called a 10% monthly membership discount. It's kind of like a customer appreciation. Well, I'd like to find out what that's really all about. I mean, I could always use a little more appreciation in my life. Co-op girls, I need some appreciation. Co-op girls, just punch in 6411. Co-op girls, yeah, I need some appreciation. Co-op girls, just punch in 6411. Musician's life for me, don't you know? It's just me and my guitar on the road. And sometimes my baby takes off work to join me. Then it's hotel rooms and late night shows, dirty bars and festivals. And there's one thing that you should know about my baby, is that she's so dedicated to me, it's crazy. Well, she carries my guitar, she drives me near and far. She's always there for me. My baby's so damn good to me. And when we walk together through these festival gates, well, the grounds lay out before us and my adoring fans are awaiting. There's vendors of handmade clothes, energy shakes, and soap makers. And music for all ages. Well, the excitement is contagious. So I've turned to share my feelings with my baby. But suddenly she is nowhere to be seen. It seems that she's all but disappeared, and my worst fear is realized when I finally discover she is otherwise occupied. My baby's in the beer tent again. She appears to be befriending the cute volunteer bartenders. She's boozing with the locals, and she's schmoozing folks and smoking. My baby's in the beer tent again. She's as loyal as they get. Why, she's as solid as an S10 Chevy pickup truck in red. And I know she'll never leave my side. Well, it seems her eyes were made with me in mind. And for my baby, well, you know it's all about the music. She loves nothing better than to dance a little two-step now and then. 'Cause she digs bluegrass, folk, and country and old-timey. And as for my tunes, well, she's 100. These festivals, my baby starts to change. Your heart's frothing at the mouth. Somewhere else. When it comes to beer, I'm sorry. He's off and running. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Well, she's chatting up the ladies, and she's arm wrestling all the men. She's chugging with the rednecks, and she's spending my whole paycheck. My baby's in the beer tent again. Well, my baby's rather quiet and introverted. Yeah, she doesn't tend to be much of a flirt. But when she gets a can of liquid courage in her hand, well, she turns into an instant bona fide ladies' man. She loves to party with our people and wave that rainbow flag. She'll be singing, "We are family," with the old school fags and the drag queens. Well, she's guzzling with the gays. She's down and drinks with all the dykes. She won't ever lay down and die. I know my baby will survive, 'cause my baby's in the beer tent again. Well, she's even louder and she's prouder when her pride's a little pie-eyed. She's buying beers for all the queers. She's on a gender bender. place in the beer tent again. She's dressed to kill in her Crocs, cutoffs and plaid shirt. Well, my baby's a plate of fashion, and she's looking hot for certain. But she swears up and down that she ain't the Earth Mama type. Well, she firmly believes that she ain't no granola dyke stereotype. But when my baby starts swilling hops with all the hippies, then she's talking 1960s folk songs and she's rolling herbal ciggies. She spouts off about compost, organic gardening, and tofu. She's toking with her psychedelic sisters and she's even playing naked twister. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Yeah, she's tripping with the hippies. Her peace man never ends. She gets all flower power when she gets a few drinks down her. My baby's in the beer tent again. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Yeah, she's in all her splendor and she's a repeat offender. She's dancing on the tabletops and she shows no sign of stopping. My baby's in the beer tent again. My baby's in the beer tent again. My baby's in the beer tent again.
Well, that song is from your third CD. I want to back up a bit. The first song I played by you was from your first album, Coming Alive, from 2006, and I love that right from the first track, you're out of the closet. And was it a hard decision to decide to start your recording career as an out artist?
No, not at all. And it's hard to explain that. It just, I didn't even think about it. I mean, of course, I've thought about it over the years. I've thought about, you know, why do I sing all these songs all the time about, you know, gender and sexual identity, my own outing and my own healing and discovery process. But I didn't think about it at the beginning. I just did it. You know, it was sort of like, these are the songs about me and here's who I am and this is what I'm singing about and this is the lens that I write through, and yeah, just put them out there.
Oh, well, that song was called Starving Artist. Could you talk just a moment about it?
Yeah, it's based in true story. just sort of me laughing at myself about, sort of some of the places in my life that probably weren't very successful, sort of my love life, and at that time my music career, which was just, I was just starting, and not having any money, you know, being the starving artist, as it were, and then just sort of like these trip-ups in love and that kind of thing. So it's sort of about all of those things.
I'm sitting here in the dark on my porch all alone, and I can barely even afford to pay my phone bill, yeah. Well, I'm a starving artist and I still gotta have a day job, but I know where my heart is. It's right here behind my guitar. And I turn into a nervous wreck when I think about trying to make a living singing songs, cause I can't compete with burlesque dancers and I can't compete with chicks in drag. And I'm a sarcastic chick with trucker mouth who really wants to make it big. Yeah, right, I'm gonna make it big singing songs about myself and how much I love women. All I really wanna do is make a living singing songs, but how will I get on the radio when I cuss and swear and sing about loving women? I sing about loving women. Relationships are so hard for me to figure out, they just baffle me and freak me out. But what baffles me even more is every woman I've been with leaves the province when we break up. What's up with that? Was it really all that bad? All I really wanna do is fall in love for real, but how will I get that chance when y'all keep moving away? Yeah, y'all keep moving away. Met you at the festival and you said that you liked my stuff, and I thought you were really cute, but I didn't know what to say and I didn't know what to do. And so we got married in my head just a few minutes after that, and we drove off in my station wagon into that proverbial sunset. All I really want to do is drive off into the sunset with you, but how will I get that chance when my car keeps breaking down now and I keep breaking down too, yeah. So, will you go out with me? Do you want to be my date? I mean, I think we could be really great together. But I can see you're a little skeptical, and I think I know what you got on your mind. So I promise and I swear it's true, I won't write any songs about you. I know I said I wouldn't write a song about you, baby, but I lied, 'cause this one's all about you. It's all about you, yeah. Sitting here in the dark on my porch all alone, and I can barely even afford to pay my phone bill. Yeah, well, I'm a starving artist and I still gotta have my day job, but I know where my heart is. It's right here behind my guitar. Yeah, yeah, it's right here behind my guitar.
Well, your second CD was a natural for me. It's called I'm Just Warming Up, and two songs were perfect for my shows, the first one being, of course, The Only Dyke at the Open Mic.
Again, another true story, which, of course, I embellished, right?
That,
I mean,
oh,
the,
sure.
The crux of that story, of course, was the guy at the end who was at the open mic that night. And when I was done singing, he approached me and said, you know, wow, I sure wish I was a lesbian, you know. And it was like, that was the hook of the song, right? That was where I wrote the song. That's when I got, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to write a song about this. This is so hilarious.
I was feeling blue the other night, so I walked down the street to the neighborhood open mic, thinking if I played a couple of tunes, it just might make me feel all right. So I walked up to the bar and put down my guitar and ordered myself a tea, 'cause I couldn't afford a beer. And then I sat down and took a look around the place and surveyed all the faces in there. Some college kids slamming back a couple of pitchers and a group of teachers in V-neck sweaters planning their next strike. And on the mic was a Kurt Cobain lookalike in Converse shoes singing some grunge love suicide blues. There were some old boys sitting at the bar giving me the stare. They were checking out my hair. And I thought, oh my God, what am I doing in here right now? I really could use that beer. Feeling a little tight and it's getting hot in here. I'm the only dyke at the open mic. I wish I was on that flight tonight. Oh, Joni, get me out of here. So when Kurt sang his final note, he left the stage to smoke cigarettes and drink himself depressed. And the hostess asked if I'd like to sing a couple of tunes. Well, I guess I didn't have much to lose. So I jumped up on stage, but I bumped into the mic stand and it crash-landed to the floor. And the hostess ran up to help me out as I was fighting off my second round of self-doubt. And I'm the only dyke at the open mic, and the mic's down on the floor, and I'm already looking for the door, yeah. I'm the only dyke at the open mic. I'm just trying to look cool, but I'm feeling a little bit. Then it took me for what seemed like forever to tune my guitar, and I could hear the old boys at the bar snickering through the darkness, and I'm still thinking, do I really have to go through with this? And then the microphone started feeding back on me, and the sound guy freaked out. And I felt like I was in one of those classic movie scenes, you know, or like the time when Ellen DeGeneres finally came out. And the old boys at the bar had their backs to me now, and Kurt Cobain was getting drunk and loud. And the teachers were getting rowdy and ready to call a union meeting, and me, I was still contemplating leaving. And then I heard someone say, I hope this chick doesn't stick around, cause I've had enough for one day. But then I ripped into my first song, you know, and I blew them all away. Yeah, yeah, and I'm the only dyke at the open mic. I'm working the crowd and I'm making them laugh out loud, yeah. I'm the only dyke at the open mic. Well, what do you know? I was winning them over, yeah. So I finished my tunes to a round of whistling and clapping, and as I was packing up my guitar case, one of the boys from the bar came over with a really sheepish look on his face. And I'm thinking, okay, what's this guy gonna say to me? I better get ready. But then he slapped me on the shoulder and he said with a grin, I loved your songs, man. I wish I was a lesbian. Strumming my guitar in this dingy little bar, yeah. I'm the only dyke at the open mic, belting out songs about women feeling good when I'm singing. I'm the only dyke at the open mic, strumming my guitar in this dingy little bar, yeah. I'm the only dyke at the open mic. Some nights I gotta push myself a little bit farther.
I want to slip in a treat, a song about Kate Reed, done by a friend of hers, Tim Redman, and Kate backs him up on guitar and vocals. It's called The Only Man.
My friend Kate is playing a gig down the road at the local bar. It looks like fun, think I'll go along and see three girls with guitars. $10 at the door, it's one sweet deal and it's only a couple of blocks. So I walk in and I pay the cover, but I'm in for a bit of a shock. The room is full and I glance around and then I order something to eat. There's all kinds of folks, some women, some blokes, so I go and then I grab a seat. Kate sings The Only Dyke at the open mic, it's my favourite song, and then it dawns on me there's masculinity, but none of them are men. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, token male, only man with the lesbians. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, token male, only man with the lesbians. Oh, oh, oh. And they look at me as if to say, who's he? So I try to stay cool. It never occurred, although I know Kate's words, so I feel like a bit of a fool. Well, I know she's gay and I like what she says about fighting the powers that be. But I never expected it to be women only except for little old me. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, token male, only man with the lesbians. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, token male, only man with the lesbians. Oh, oh, oh. But as Kate strums the strings and as she sings of the crap and abuse she's known, makes me realize it should be no surprise that I'm in that minority of one. As a man I feel strange, that makes a change, and one thing I know for sure, my experience pales in comparison with the shit gay people have endured. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, only man with the lesbians. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, token male, only man with the lesbians. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, token male, only man with the lesbians. I'm a straight sore thumb, I'm a token male, I'm the only man with the lesbians. Straight sore thumb, token male, only man with the lesbians.
The second song I love, among many, from that CD is Emergency Dyke Project.
And again, based in a true story where my partner and I were driving beside the Chilliwack River, which is a river in southern BC. And, you know, we were going camping and we saw along the river, it was sort of, I think it was like late spring, early summer, so there was a lot of runoff and, you know, the Chilliwack River gets quite high. And there was, you know, all the sandbags and sort of this emergency dike project built around the sides of the rivers. And there was this big sign. And of course I saw that and I thought, there's a lot of parallels between that in my life as a songwriter and, as a lesbian. And so I just started to write the song right there. So it was a good inspirational moment.
Driving along a winding highway road on a weekend camping getaway. There was a twisting, turning river churning right beside us. It was ready to spill over the sides. And the sandbags piled high on top to stop the overflow, and the cars were stopped up all in front of us. And on the road just up ahead there was a sign. I strained my eyes to read what it said, and it said, "This is an emergency dike project. There's an urgent roadblock. Please pull over here and wait. It's a necessity to keep a tight rein on the flow here. We'll let you know when it is safe to drive on through." I started thinking about emergencies, rivers and dikes, and how I fight the urge in me to wanna merge with the mainstream. How singing feels urgent to me, how I must hold tight to my identity, or I'm gonna watch it slip downstream. See, a guy from a festival committee with a wimpy handshake told me, maybe I'd have played a little straighter in your application, Kate. And I said, thanks for the advice, and I walked away, but I got to thinking, wait a second, man, what's he really trying to say? Cause I've kissed a girl and I liked it too. In fact, I've kissed a few in my day, so how come I'm not famous for it yet? Well, I don't care if my boyfriend minds. Oops, I forgot I don't got one to hide behind. See, I'm not just here for some trendy joyride. I need an emergency dike project. Seems there's a roadblock here to my success. It's a necessity cause a bandwagon's up ahead of me, and I'm still not getting waved through yet. Well, I must admit we're mostly lucky in this country. Being queer seems to be getting easier here every day. Except for the fear of coming out, being called names while walking down the street, gay bashing jokes in the staff room. What are we complaining about? We don't have to serve jail time cause it ain't a crime no more. So what if they organized a vote nationwide to decide if they should let us get married? But the divorce law still specified man and woman cause they forgot to change the wording, so gay divorce was technically illegal. Oh, good thing they didn't take a vote on changing that law too. That could have been hell for some people. Now while I'm at it, I'm on a roll, just wind me up and watch me go. Let me pay you a little slice of lesbian life. Butch women aren't always welcome in women's public restrooms cause some straight mum will insist you're in the wrong place, grab her kids and run, thinking you're a man.
Then the small town hotel clerk asks, two beds then, and you and your gal say, no, one will be grand. And then he looks confused and says, well, which one's the wife and which one's the husband? And then your mother asks, darling, do you have to dress so masculine? I mean, really, honey, do you have to be a lesbian? I need an emergency dyke project, one that defies heterosexual logic. It's a necessity, cause I'm an invisible minority, and conforming just ain't an option for me. So until I see us all out there on the big screen, on radio and textbooks and ads and magazines, I'm gonna keep on living my dream. I'm gonna keep on being the real thing, and I'm hoping I'll work myself out of this job eventually. But in the meantime, I'd rather pass for a girly dyke than squeak by as a question mark. You know, I'd rather make my mark in this game, cause I'm a dame making a name for myself. I'm a woman on the loose, loose lip, and rocking the ship, shit disturbing just for the fun of it. This is an emergency dyke project. There's an urgency to my work here every day. It's a necessity, cause the mainstream can't seem to accept me. So I'll sing in bold, hoping this is history one day. This is an emergency dyke project. There's an urgency to our work here every day. It's a necessity, cause the mainstream can't seem to accept you and me. So let's live in bold, hoping this is history one day. And I'll sing in bold to keep those homophobes away.
Well, 2011 came your third album, Doing It for the Chicks, and I tend to pick your upbeat political songs, but I want to ask about a slower one. What was behind When I Was a Little Boy?
Yeah, When I Was a Little Boy was, that song was interesting because it took me quite a long time to write that song. It was based on a dream that I had many years ago, and it was basically, when I sort of figured out what the dream was about, it was clear to me that it was about a little soul part of mine that, you know, of course, a little boy soul part of mine that I had left behind as I grew into an adult woman. Because as a young child, it was more very tomboy-esque, and, you know, I sort of played the part of being a boy a lot of times in my play with my friends. So it's sort of a song about coming of age into that and sort of, and then moving beyond that and going into the whole girlhood and realizing that I, you know, as a teenager I had to conform to all these standards of what it means to be a girl and a young woman. And then realizing in the end I can still reclaim that part of myself that, you know, like a boy.
He was living in the trees, that was his home. He slept alone in an old wooden box, no one to hold him tight, frightened as he was. And bare feet he was walking on broken glass, he used some shards to cut away to his lonely heart. His clothes were torn, hair in a tattered mess. There was despair hanging in that forest air. Ooh, I was anyway. I knew the summer sun would come and save me from it all. And I could run around outside in my underwear. I didn't wear a shirt. I had nothing to hide back then. I styled my Barbie's hair with a pair of kitchen scissors and a rebellious tomboy fantasy. Play the husband or the hero in every single make-believe scene. Ooh, I was a little boy when I was a little girl. It was a funny life for me back then. And ooh, I was a wild child when I was a little boy.
How true is the song Closet Femme?
It's very true. Again, yes. You know, J.D., most of my songs are, it's not completely true, based in a very large kernel or whole piece of corn of truth, you know. It's true. I don't know how to describe it. I really, you know, I struggle with still to this day. Like if I'm going out with my partner in public and we go on a date, I definitely want to wear something more girly. She is more butchy. But if there's a chance that I run into somebody who knows me as Kate Reed the musician, I don't dress like that. I won't, you know, I don't want anyone to see me in those clothes, you know, so it's a really odd and interesting and funny sort of dichotomy, I guess, or something. Or
kind of like a closet princess.
Yeah. You know,
when you perform that, if people come up to you afterwards and say, hey, I feel that too.
Yeah, lots of gay guys like that. It feels to the gay boys, so. Which is cute.
Over the last couple of weeks, I found myself strolling through the city streets, coveting the clothes in the windows of those high fashion boutiques. But I ain't bold enough to wear those outfits. I couldn't pull it off. I'd be self-conscious, but it's on, it's on me. I'm in public. Oh, that lady look is me. And I can't believe I'm saying this out loud at my workplace in front of a crowd. 'Cause you know me, I'm kind of shy, but it's time I clarify. What you see ain't always what you get. in my bathroom drawer, including a can of hairspray, cause you know I used to be an 80s babe. And when I go on holidays out of town, I pack my jeans and boy button downs, but my makeup bag and 10 pairs of shoes, well, they take up the most room. Now my profile needs diversifying, revitalizing and glorifying. Gonna get some fishnets and corsets and show off my assets.
Again, that was Closet Femme from the CD Doing It for the Chicks from 2011. If you got this far, I want to thank you for indulging me in checking out this two-hour segment on Kate Reed. And I have one more question for her.
The title track from Doing It for the Chicks, is there a story behind the story?
What do you mean behind the story?
Oh,
behind the song?
Has the song worked?
I see. No. It's totally, no, it's, I wrote that song actually when I was feeling quite frustrated and angry, even though you can't really tell, I mean, you kind of can, it's quite sarcastic, of course, and tongue-in-cheek, but it's meant to really, you know, poke fun at all of those stereotypes that we have about, that people have about lesbians in particular.
Tell you're some kind of worried out there about what I'm doing up here, and I assure you my reasoning is completely shallow about how and why I'm here to entertain you. I'm merely on a divine plan to convert you all to the dark side of the bedroom, so why don't you come and pray at my church for a change, then I'll pray on you, cause that's I'm just doing this for the chicks. I'm just singing, hoping I make it with you, baby. All I need is my God-given ability to serenade. Now I'm on a full-blown recruiting crusade. I've got me a rocket rhyming dictionary. I got me a couple of killer hot lips, yeah. But the music's all just extracurricular. I'm just doing it for the chicks. You're the kind of gal who likes to fool around, then I'm the kind of gal you wanna be bedding down. If you're bisexual, better yet, a curious hetero, oh, then baby, I'm your man. If you've got a voyeur for a boyfriend, even better. Or if you just feel like doing a little experimenting, why don't you take the plunge and jump the fence with me? And I'll take you for a wild ride on the other side. Cause I'm just doing this for the chicks. I'm just singing, hoping I make it with you, baby. All I need is my God-given ability to serenade. Just doing it for the chicks. You're the kind of
likes to fret and frown about his place in the world. Then I guess that I'm your worst nightmare, and I'm coming true, 'cause I'm here to steal your little lady out from under you. And I can see you're concerned with all this coming out, and I'm the other woman your mother forgot to warn you about. And you believe that I'm your nemesis, but that's just ludicrous, 'cause the one thing I want to impress on you is this: I'm just doing it for the chicks. I'm just singing, hoping I make this world a better place to live in. Just doing it for the chicks. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm just doing it for the chicks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just doing it for the chicks. I'm just doing it for the chicks.